How many of you have observed or experienced tremendous chaos in the last several months? How many of you, even though you know pieces of it and live pieces of it, still question, are you absolutely certain of what your real purpose is for being here at this time? Or do you still think that there's some holes to fill in? Holes to fill in. Okay. So what I want to talk about today is not so much making a laundry list of things that you can do in the community that will earn points in heaven. It's more what we become so that we are sacred service and that we are the unique expression of the divine light. And so I want to talk about how to get there. And one of the things that I've noticed about the changing times that we're in and the new paradigm is that words and phrases that were very commonly used in the past seem to feel different now. They have a different meaning now. And one of the main ones that came to me, you know, when I'm preparing to do these talks, I do a meditation, I go to talk to my ancestors, and I ask them what, you know, what's the subject matter that you want me to express at this time? And they give me a topic, and I pursue that. And immediately I heard, you must talk about being self-centered. And in the past, most people, if you thought of someone and you said, oh, he or she is so self-centered, that was not a compliment. That was an observation that these people maybe were insensitive to others' people's needs or whatever, whatever definition you want to put on it. But when I was preparing for this, that kept coming up and coming up and coming up, and I thought, you know, we really have to look at not only how we think and how we behave, but what words do we use? Well, how do we express ourselves? And when you think about, separate from any connotation that it may have had in the past, when you think about saying, I am self-centered, that's about as good as it gets. You know, you are self who is centered. And isn't that what we're always striving for? I want to be centered. I want to be grounded. I want to be balanced. So we kind of have to think about those things. And although we are obviously in a circumstance where we can observe a tremendous amount of confusion and chaos, and regardless of what side of the political arena you're on, it's all looking a little crazy to me, but as Bill alluded to, a lot of times when there is chaos or negative behavior as we would perceive it or whatever, that isn't necessarily a bad thing. That means that change is coming. And how we choose to participate in that change is our decision to make and our connection with the divine. So I was guided to express a few things. And normally I don't have notes, but there were so many points I wanted to make that I didn't want to forget or misquote it that I did bring notes. And Michael Bernard Beckwith is someone that I particularly enjoy listening to. And there were two videos that I watched in preparation of today. One is called The Answer Is You, and the other is Post-Election. And they both talk about where can we stand in the midst of all of this change to, again, as Bill alluded to not be in judgment, to not be participating in lower vibrational energy, to hold the light, and to bring ourselves and the planet forward. And I found that very poignant, especially at the time that we are in right now, and with everything that we're seeing. So there are three ways to to look at experience right now. One is to observe whatever you're seeing as chaos, as negativity, as joy, as whatever, and just kind of seeing it. The second way is to see the potential for a higher purpose. And the third way is to be so aligned with divine love that you only see the good in everything, no matter how it looks, no matter how it's been described, no matter how we would define it. So I'm going to talk about different ways to achieve that in this life. How many people feel right now like you are doing your day, but there's a quiet happening, even though you may be involved in an activity, there's like this quiet behind it, or you feel invisible. You feel, lately, when I'm driving around, I have been so careful about the way I'm driving, because honestly, I feel invisible. I feel like I am somewhere outside of this bubble, observing what's going on, but not really being part of it. And I'm hoping that I'm not invisible to everybody else who's on the road, because that could be a problem. But what has come to my attention is that sacred service, as I said, isn't about coming up with chores or coming up with, you know, look, everyone in this room lives sacred service in some way. You wouldn't be here otherwise. And we all know that, you know, if you're in the grocery store and someone is packing your groceries for you, you make eye contact and you say thank you and you tell them to have a nice day. That's sacred service. You are acknowledging the value of this other person. And that's wonderful, but everybody here knows that, you know, and we do it on a daily basis. What I'm talking about is raising our vibration to a place where we are sacred service, where our light shines so brightly that we are a beacon of love and of divine presence. And in achieving that place, all the things that we may look at as circumstance will just be what they are, but we will attract to ourselves something that is more aligned with the beauty that we see as the world as we want it to be. And it's not something that we have to go out and do. It's something that we need to be. And one of the things that I'm learning on a daily basis is, regardless of what the circumstances look like, you can always perceive it a different way. You can always perceive it in a way that is aligned with moving into that space of divine presence. So I'll reveal a little bit about myself. I was talking to a friend. I've had some things, you know, Bill mentioned that people are struggling. I've had some things going on in my life that have been very difficult, and some of them health issues, some of them other things, but like really confused and feeling like, you know, I thought I was a spiritual person. I thought I was, you know, a loving person. I'm putting one step in front of the other, blah, blah, blah. And why are these circumstances not changing? And one of the things I learned is that when there's a pause in your life, that only means that you can be pretty excited that something else is coming next. And timing is everything. And I'm sure we've all experienced, if you get something in your head and you rush it, you could actually bypass the very thing that the universe is trying to give you, which would be the greatest gift ever. But we took control and we decided what the timing should be. And so it didn't unfold exactly the way we wanted it to be. But I was talking to a friend of mine who is extremely intuitive, and we've done a lot of work together, and we do a lot of trades and things. And I said, Martha, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Like, I'm sitting in this place, I'm stuck, I'm confused, I don't know how to move forward, I don't know, I certainly don't want to go backward. What the heck? And to be perfectly honest, I didn't use the word heck. And I was like, what is going on? And she said, let me tap into my guidance, and she did. And she said, they're telling me you're asking the wrong questions. And we continued our conversation, and we hung up. And I was angry. What do you mean I'm asking the wrong questions? How dare you say that to me? And if I knew the right questions, I'd ask them. How can the universe just say, well, you're asking the wrong questions? Well, give me the right questions. What do you want me to do? And I really got angry and hurt. I mean, my feelings were hurt. It's like, really? I talk to you every day, and the best you can do is you're asking the wrong questions? But I've been sitting with that and sitting with that and sitting with that. And I was guided to go to Michael Bernard Beckwith. And you know how when you're looking for something and something just pulls at you and you know you have to take a look at it, you know you have to read it. And I went to the video, The Answer Is You. And the first thing he says is, if you want the universe to align with you, you need to ask the right questions. And I was like, okay, and what might they be? And he went on to say that most of the time, even the most spiritual people on this planet, when they are asking for guidance or whatever, they're actually asking very disempowering questions. They're asking things like, why me? Why, you know, why have I been chosen to experience this? Why can't I get myself out of this? Where do I need to go? Should I move? Should I, you know? And these, from the universe's point of view, are very mundane, unimportant questions. So I began to hear what the productive, I won't say right or wrong, but the productive questions are. So I want to read these to you. There are five in particular. But what I want you to do, I mean, in your own time, you can reflect on these questions and get other answers. But what I'd like you to do right now is really feel the question. When I ask this question, what do you feel in your body? Do you get a little bubble in your stomach? Do you get an aha moment? Do you get a light bulb going off? Do you get, oh my God, I want to know more about that? What comes to you as I ask these questions? What's trying to emerge in my life? Now think about how that feels. Or do you feel nothing? What good is present that I currently cannot see? What gift is trying to happen in my life right now? What power is trying to emerge right now? What have I been sitting on that is trying to come through me right now? Now, as I read those questions, did you don't have to share what it was, but did you feel things in your body? Mm-hmm. Did it make you want to know more? Did it make you want to pursue a different perspective on figuring out why we're here? I love that the clock is right there, because then I know how long I went over. Okay, so to quote Michael Bernard Beckwith, every problem is a question that's trying to ask itself. Every question is an answer trying to reveal itself. Every answer is an action trying to express itself. Every action is a way of life trying to be born. The universe invites you to ask a question. I found that very empowering, and it makes one's communication with the universe so much clearer, and helped me to know that, you know, we've read, I mean, God, I could quote books from now until midnight on the subject of change your thoughts, you know, change your thoughts, move a mountain, change your thoughts, do this, change your thoughts, change your thoughts. But seeing the world in a particular way and wanting to, or actually believing that the reality is something else, this is all, you know, this is just for show, but there are other things going on behind the scenes that we can't see. And there are other beliefs and knowings and truth that is not being expressed at this time. And I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's a challenge to say, okay, this is, we're calling this reality. We're calling this the real world. We're calling this 3D moving into 5D, now 5D. But there are 100 other opportunities. There are 100 other options. There are 100 other things that we could see the world as. And that's been a real challenge of, you know, going over that hurdle. But more and more, what I'm realizing is that the more we keep the focus on our self-center, the more those answers become very clear. Because you could line up 10 people in this room and you could ask them the same question about how they observed a particular circumstance and you will get 10 different answers. Because those answers will come from whatever the life experience, beliefs, and conditioning of love versus non-love has been a part of their lives. So what I have learned and what I want to share with you today is just be the circumstance that is how you believe you want to see the world. What is for the highest good of you, for the highest good of all? We are all one. So instead of observing events that are happening all over the world, and listening to outcomes and coverage of that event that are very definitely driven by agendas that may not be our own, the more we can stay in our center, the more we can stay connected to our ancestors, stay connected to the divine presence, and the more we respect, honor, and believe that we are a unique expression of the divine, all the other stuff will get taken care of. We don't have to worry about it. The more we shine our light, the more we offer that light to the planet, the more we offer that light to all, the more we envision all children being fed and happy and playful, and all people with enough food and clean water, and all people with wonderful housing, and all people in a sense of cooperation, and all of nature being just absolutely divine, as it always is. That is what builds a ball of energy that moves us to where that vision becomes real. And, you know, one of the things I love that I heard, I'm a worrier, I admit it, and in one of the videos that I was watching, he said, worry is just rehearsing for the very things you don't want to see happen. And I just thought that was, you know, that was like a ding-dong moment for me. And it's very simple, but think about it. How many in this room are worriers? About half. Okay. How many people think about the fact that you're worriers and don't want to be worriers, but don't know how to stop worrying? So, you know, we have such beautiful open hearts, and we want so much wonderfulness for the world and for all the people that we know. And yet, without even realizing it, we sabotage that very opportunity by falling into some of that lower vibrational experience, because it's just so easy. You know, it's so easy to be witness of that. And sometimes I get confused even about watching the news. It's like, I don't want to be a part of all that. I don't want to contribute to that. I don't want my energy fueling that. At the same time, I feel like it's my responsibility as a responsible adult to have some idea what's going on in the world. And so I go back and forth about that. But what I'm learning is that even no matter what you're observing, no matter what you're looking at, if you are in a state of grace and you are in a true understanding of the divine presence and you're part of being that divine presence. Matt Kahn, how many of you know Matt Kahn? Okay. He is a perfect example of this. He's a wonderful spiritual man who's got tons of YouTube videos, and he's been a channel for the divine since he was about 4 years old. And he talks about the fact that he is so aligned and so aware of who he is as a divine presence that pretty much anything can happen, and he doesn't have an emotional reaction to it. And it doesn't mean he doesn't care. It doesn't mean it's unimportant to him. It just means that he knows where to put it, so it doesn't sabotage his open heart or his desire to see the planet expand or to move into this new fifth dimensional energy that is supposed to let so much of this chaos float away. But change, I think change and chaos are interchangeable. It's very difficult to have change without some kind of chaos. Because, you know, something, whether you are in agreement with the change or not, something is going to be different. So what I want you to think about, and then we're going to do a little exercise, is how can I grow? What can I give? And what can I celebrate? Because gratitude is so much a part of sacred service. Gratitude is everything. And, you know, a month or two ago, I would have said, well, you know, I consider myself a very grateful person, but I am not going to sit here and lie and say I'm grateful for this health issue. I'm grateful for, you know, I just couldn't do it. Today I can. Because what I realized, what I was thinking about, again, in preparation of coming here today, is it's because of that that I have been doing all this other research, and then I have been seeking, and then I have been asking questions, and I have been meeting new people, and, you know, I've been participating in things that I might not have otherwise participated in. And without this nudge behind me, would I have done those things? But I think that the true meaning, to me, the true meaning of sacred service, again, is not about, you know, we automatically do circumstances of service every single day, every single day. Every time you feed a stray cat, or you say a prayer for a tree that's not looking too good, or you put your arms around a tree, or your hands on it, something, you are doing sacred service. This is even bigger than that. This is becoming sacred service. So that you have no other option in your day but to do sacred service, because you are sacred service. But the most important person to begin to have that sense for is yourself. Self-centered. If you aren't truly in the love of your own divine expression, then it's difficult to align with some other part of that expression. You know, we know we're all one. We know that we're individual pieces of the pie, but we all come together to make one pie. Well, if you are spoiled in such, you know, sabotage, lower vibration, negative, and you're sitting in the rest of the pie, then the rest of the pie gets spoiled. If you are beaming light and love and appreciation and gratitude, then that's what's happening. How many times have you heard somebody, you know, people who bake, and somebody will say, oh, I've got to have that recipe, and they try. You couldn't make it taste like that no matter what you did. You can use exactly the same ingredients. You can use exactly the same cookware. You can do everything the same. It will not taste the same. And it won't taste the same because you got somebody over here who loves to bake, who is just loves their family, loves their center that they're baking for the potlucks. They're pouring so much love and appreciation and gratitude into what they are preparing that it becomes an ingredient. It becomes part of that pie. Where if you have somebody who's like, oh, well, that tasted so good. I'd really like to make that. I don't really like to bake. I don't really enjoy doing it. But, you know, I feel obligated to do this. It is not going to taste the same because the energy going into hearing it is not the same. Now, a lot of the principles I'm sharing seem very simple, but when you really apply them, they're pretty powerful. They're pretty powerful. And I was given a particular image through one of my guides who was trying to teach me how to block out sabotage. Negative messages. Oh, that's a big project. You really think you can do that? Or you don't really have that kind of experience. You don't have that kind of education. You're not that good on the computer. You know, anything. And it's very well-meaning. It's not that somebody is trying to sabotage you, but it just comes through in some of the negative messages. And I have a wonderful sage who is one of my guides. And he showed me this picture that I will share with you. And I saw him, he looks very Asian. He's got a rice hat on and, you know, very, very petite, what you would normally see. But he is down on the ground and there is a flower that is just beginning to come up out of the ground. And he is just very tenderly working with the dirt around it, very gently putting his hand under the flower, saying how beautiful it is, how grateful he is that he has the opportunity to see it grow. And he's just doing everything and anything to nurture this beautiful flower. And he is just, you know, talking to the sun, asking the sun to warm it, talking to the dirt, asking it to enrich it with the right minerals and the right vitamins. But meanwhile, all around him are these faces in little bubbles, and they are screaming very negative messages. You know, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbag, and you know, this one over here is, oh, we're going to be in Third World War, and this one over here is saying something else, and this one over here is saying something else. And he said, just put yourself in that place of nurturing this beautiful flower. And it was very touching and very moving. And then he turned and he looked at me and he said, you are the flower. As long as you are nurturing yourself in that way, as long as you are eating the right foods, getting enough sleep, surrounding yourself with the kind of music that makes you feel good, surrounding yourself with the kind of people that makes you feel good. And you know, one of the points that I want to make is there is a big difference between service and codependency. And there is a big difference between doing something because it naturally feels right to do it and not wanting to say no. There is, part of being self-centered, part of taking care of yourself, part of being in that divine, is knowing when you are overextended. And it's okay to say no. And that doesn't make you less spiritual. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you uncooperative. It doesn't make you selfish. It just means that you know your own boundaries. And if you can do it, you will. And if you can't, you can't. And as much as I grew up in a family where that would not fly, if you think about every person in the universe thinking that way, can you imagine how much good would happen? Can you imagine how many wonderful things would happen? Because you wouldn't be participating in something out of exhaustion. You would be participating in something out of joy. And that makes all the difference in the world. So, can I have 10 more minutes? Is that okay? Okay. What I would, you know, a half an hour, come on, you guys. what I would like to do is have you just kind of get a little centered and quiet. And I'm just going to take you through a very brief meditation. You can do this on your own at home as long as you want. Because of the time constraints here, we're going to do it very quickly, but it's still very meaningful. So just kind of quiet yourself. Take a couple of deep breaths. And see a pyramid in front of you. This pyramid may be crystal, it may be stone, it's quite large. You may want to put your hand on it and see what it feels like. And as you walk around the pyramid, you realize that there is a guardian watching over the pyramid where there is a door to enter. And be aware of this guardian, because this is very meaningful to you. This is someone that is working with you or overseeing you at this time. And as you approach the door, the guardian opens the door and you enter. And you notice that in the center of the pyramid there is a chair. And you're guided to sit in that chair. And you take a couple of deep breaths. And you feel the essence of being here. It's quiet, it's serene, and yet it feels very important. And as you sit and relax in the pyramid, you realize that it begins to fill with a pink light. This is the energy and vibration of unconditional love. And you realize that your crown chakra has opened, and this pink light begins to enter your crown. And it comes down through all of your chakras, into your heart, flowing with your blood through your whole body, and out the bottom of your feet. And as it comes out the bottom of your feet, it begins to spiral around your body, and it begins to create a rhythm It goes in your chakra, in your crown chakra, through your body, out your feet, spiraling around your body and back in your crown chakra. You are completely immersed in unconditional love. Be aware of how that feels. And that pink light begins to dissipate. And you realize it has been replaced with a beautiful blue light. This is the frequency of the Blue Star Nation. This is the frequency of peace and harmony. And again, it fills the entire pyramid and begins to enter your crown. And goes through your body in the same way that the love did. Out your feet and spiraling around. And it begins to meet the spiral of unconditional love and join it. So you now have unconditional love and peace and harmony spiraling around and circulating through you. And as the light of peace and harmony begins to dissipate, the pyramid becomes filled with a golden white light. This is the divine. This is the source light. You are immersed in your creator. You are more aligned with the unique expression of the divine than ever before. And you feel that white light enter your crown, circulate through your body, come out the bottom of your feet, and spiral around back into your crown. So these three colors become a rainbow that creates a cocoon of frequency for you to live within. You are divine love. You are peace and harmony. You are unconditional love. You are an expression of sacred service. And as you bask in the beauty and the essence of this beautiful, wonderful, divine presence, the mist of colors begins to leave. You take a couple of deep breaths. And begin to pull yourself up out of the chair. And as you exit the pyramid, your guardian has just a brief sentence of information to offer you. Thank your guardian for being there, for offering you whatever message you may have received. And gradually bring your consciousness back into your body here at Spiritual Light Center. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Become fully present in your body and in this moment. And as you open your eyes, look at the person next to you and see the divine presence in that person. Look beyond their hair color or what they're wearing. See the light that shines within them. And when you're ready, come back to this moment. Anybody want to share what that experience was like for them? Okay. I invite all of you to know every day how deeply loved you are, how deeply appreciated you are, and how grateful the divine is that you are here at this time. And I invite you to make a commitment to yourself to do one thing every day that will remind you of everything that we've talked about. Whatever it is for you, you can, there may be a tree in your yard that you love. Make a commitment that you're going to tell that tree every day how much you love it. And see what a difference that makes in how that tree grows. I had, I'll just tell this very quick story. When I moved into my house 5 years ago, there was a, what I thought was a dead rose bush in a pot in front of my house. And it had obviously been there for a long time, and I couldn't understand why nobody moved it. Like, why didn't you either give it back to the earth or repot something? And it just sat there. And I asked my landlord's mother, because she's become a friend and she's a neighbor, and I said, how long has that been there? And she said, oh, dear God, at least 8 or 9 years. And I said, the way it is now? And she said, yes. And I said, well, why didn't somebody move it? She said, I don't know. Tenants came, tenants went, and there it sits. And I moved it around to the side of my house that gets more sun. And every day when I took my dogs out or did anything that would take me past that bush, I would gently hold part of it in my hand. I would say, I love you. I love you. And I started singing to it. I started chanting the names of God. I did everything I could to show that rose bush that someone recognized that it had a right to be there and that it was beautiful, even if it was dead. Well, it wasn't dead, because a couple of months later, when it became time for rose bushes to do what they do, I suddenly had 20 roses on that rose bush. And now I need to get a trellis for it, because I haven't changed the pot, I haven't changed the soil, I've been afraid to do anything that might put it into some kind of shock. So it's sitting in a crack pot on the side of my house in with some azalea bushes where it asked to be. And the only thing I have done to that rose bush is tell it how much I appreciate it being there and how much I love it. And it is now thriving. So if you think those simple acts of service don't matter, you are greatly mistaken. And so, as always, it is an absolute delight to be here. As always, I have run 15 minutes over, and I am so grateful for your being here and giving me the opportunity to share. Thank you very much. Oh, I forgot I'm wired.